So yeah, when I looked at our preaching schedule and I saw that I had the cosmic God, and I looked up that word cosmic or cosmos, okay, and this is what it says: cosmos, the universe, especially when it is understood as an ordered system. So the universe, which is basically another word for everything. And I started thinking, this could take a while. Be assured, I'm not going to try to talk about everything. But I will talk a little bit about a portion of it that I'd like to share with you. The cosmos, this understanding, when I first started thinking of the cosmos, I first envisioned something like this, you know, that pictures of the universe far off into space, right? And the stars and the planets and the different, the Milky Way and all its intricacies and all of its mysteries. And learning about the universe, this ever-expanding universe, and then being reminded that even in the midst of all that we do know about the universe, there is so much we don't know yet, and we probably won't be able to know completely, but we'll continue to explore and learn about this ever-expanding universe, and then to be reminded that Earth, this place that we call home, is a part of the universe. And you might be going, well, duh, Michael, didn't you know that already? Well, I do know that. I think it's important for us to understand that we are a part of something far more than what this little speck that we call home or call Earth is. And it is just a speck when we consider the ever-expanding universe. And it becomes mind-boggling, to be very honest with you. It becomes mind-boggling and, in fact, a little bit, for me, paralyzing to try to ponder in my mind, my finite mind, to try to understand this thing that is ever-expanding and almost infinite, if not infinite, beyond my comprehension. And to know that we have a God that has created all of this. This cosmic God, this God of the cosmos, the God of the universe, the God of everything that we know and don't know yet. And yet there's something in this definition that I think is really important, that it has to do with the ordered system. There's an understanding that there is an order to this cosmic universe, this universe that is beyond our imagination and ever expanding. There is an order to it. It's the way it's supposed to be. And it's important, I think, for us to pay attention to how the universe is put together and the order that it has. This order that we are just the tiniest of speck of, and yet we are a part of it. So this is the God that we're talking about today. And I'd like us to ponder for a moment something I've shared here before that I've learned, that did you know that within you are atoms? Each of us are created and have atoms inside us, yes? Some of you, this might be the first time you've heard this. But we are made of atoms, just countless atoms. And atoms can be traced, okay? Atoms can be traced. And did you know that we have atoms within each of us that can be traced to cosmic, to stars, to the moon? We have atoms inside each of our bodies that are related to atoms that are found on the moon. We have a little bit of stardust in each of us. We have this unity with the universe that is built into us. We all come from the same source of life. And we are continuing to learn more and more about that. And yet there's still mystery about it too. One of the confirmands I was with this week asked me this question. How does science and faith work together? Well, there's just a little question. But it's a great question because this person is planning on going into biomedical field. And I said, yeah, that's a great question. And what I've heard from some scientists is as they continue to discover and learn about how the earth is put together and all its intricacies, this order that we read about in the gospel, as the more and more as they dive into that, the more and more they are certain of a God, a divine being that has created this. I don't think science and faith combat one another at all. I think they go together. And it's a beautiful gift. And yet there is mystery. And so we have these atoms inside us that we relate us to other parts of the universe. And in fact, I might say, to use Jesus' words, that we are one. Jesus talks about in the Gospel of John that his desire is that the earth and the people of earth know that we are one. The way Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, and God are one, that we will be one with Christ, with God. And there is this oneness that we share with all of creation, the way it was ordered, the way it was intended to be. We have this oneness with stars that we haven't discovered yet. And it kind of blows my mind a little bit to the point that I'm going, really, that's what you're going to talk about, Michael? You're going to talk about this thing is beyond my understanding? And I'm going to go, nope, not going to. But it's there. This oneness that is a mystery, that is super powerful in my being that I don't fully understand, and yet I've caught glimpses of it. So I'd like to take an experience that I had of this oneness with something that was beyond me that was powerful for me. And I'd like to share with you an experience that I had a couple weeks ago up in Rocky Mountain National Park. So Jeff, can you go to the next slide, please? That one. Thank you very much. That one. A couple of weeks ago, I was up in Rocky Mountain National Park, and every time I go up to Rocky Mountain National Park, I try to go to some place that I haven't been before. And luckily, Rocky Mountain National Park is a massive place. A massive place that gives me lots of opportunities to go places that I haven't been before. Well, this morning, May 22nd, I decided I wanted to go to Mills Lake. A place that I haven't been before. So I started to hike on that morning in the snow, and it was snowing, as it does on May 22nd, which was kind of wild to me, but it was snowing, and this was that morning, and in fact, it was one of those mornings that it was snowing, and so I knew that there was nobody else out in front of me, because there were no other footprints in the snow. There were no animal footprints. There was no other footprints around. It was mine and mine alone. So I started up, and you could barely see where the trail was, where the snow kind of covered the trail, and so there was this little indentation that you had to make sure that you followed very carefully, I learned, because if you got off of it, you went down into about 3 feet of snow. Well, that's where the trail was because it was packed. You got off of that, and you quickly discovered you're going to have a lot harder trek up this mountain than you thought you were going to have. So stay on the trail. So I did. Stay ordered, Michael. So I tried. So I was heading up, and it was completely silent. There were no birds singing. There were no people talking. All I had was the snow gently falling. Just the slightest, if any, hint of a breeze. And I finally made it to Mills Lake. And I had never been there before, so I try to be mindful of these places and to be present in these places versus have my head and my mind and my thoughts go of a thousand other places. Maybe you've had that challenge. Maybe you share that with me. I don't know. So I was up there and trying to be mindful, to be present in this place. So I looked around, and it was you couldn't hardly see a lot. But it was clear to me that I was in a very special place. And I'm learning that one of the keys of experiencing what God has created and experiencing that intimate relationship with it, I think one of the keys is to be still. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, be still and know that I am God. So I was up at Mills Lake and I hiked all the way down to the end and I tried to be still. And I had this experience that this is a remarkable place. That I couldn't see it all because of the fog and the snow, but I got hints of it, that I was in a place that was grand and majestic and beautiful. And it held me. And I was a part of it for a moment. And I had this fleeting moment of, I was a part of this grandness, this beauty, this extraordinary place. And somehow I was a part of it, and I felt like a speck in it. But I had this experience of being one with it for just a moment. And then it's gone. And then the snow hits you on the face, and you go, oh yeah, that's right, I'm back. So I hiked back to this place, and like I said, not another animal, not another sound, not another hint of another living creature other than the trees there. Until I sat down here to have lunch. And I got my lunch out, and I had a friend show up. So, Jeff, please. This little one. Soon as I brought my lunch out, this little one showed up. And I want to make sure this little one had great manners, did not beg, but made its presence felt. And we looked at each other, looked eye to eye, and we had this oneness for a moment. For just a moment, it was clear to me that we were in this place sharing it together. Not one more powerful than another, not one more important than another, not one more significant or less significant than the other. Equals sharing this moment in this place. We were one with one another, and it was powerful. And it's difficult, and it even feels a little strange to try to explain, to put into words what this experience was. But I had that experience when we looked each other in the eye and we saw each other. I continued with my lunch, and it wandered a little bit away, and there was a little tuft of grass that it started to chew on. I had this sensation of a oneness with this creature that I had never met before, that shared this moment. And we had this oneness, this equal oneness with one another. And it was powerful. And then it was fleeting. But I got a glimpse of what I believe Jesus and what God has intended for us to live in this universe, this cosmic God, to live as one, the way God has ordered and created us to be. Creature to creature, across boundaries of species, and maybe even galaxies. But to live as one equals completely loved and cherished by the one that has created all. And had this moment of, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And it was humbling and invigorating all at the same time. to see and look into the eye of this beautiful creature and recognize that I was not alone, and neither was this little one. And we shared equally this place. And we needed one another. And we looked at each other as one. And then it was fleeting, because then there's a blue jay that showed up that didn't have the same manners as this little one. When this saw that I had, you know, some trail mix in my hand, this blue jay came up and was not as quiet, was quite boisterous about everything. But it was this moment of oneness that continues to bless me and challenge me, because I started to wonder, what would it be like? What would it be like that if I, when I encounter you, Meredith, what would it be like if I encountered you as one every single time we encountered one another? Ones that shared this place, equal, created by God, to be one. That's the way God has ordered us. Or with you, or with you, or with anybody. What would it be like if I encountered, or we encountered one another as equals, as one in this ordered universe, this cosmos that God has created? What would it be like if we shared? Last night, Jack was here, and he shared that his daughter had died. We had a oneness in our grief, because we are one. And we shared in that grief. And I've heard of stories recently of new life coming into the world. And we share in that oneness also. And we share in the challenges that we have as one. But what would it be like if we looked upon the other not as a distinct difference, but as a one? Now, created uniquely, you and I are not the same. No. And we both would say, thanks be to God. That's right. Thanks be to God. Because that's not what God has created. God has not created us the same, but we created us as one. And I'm wondering, in all the places in this world and in our lives today, those places that we experience the divisions and the boundaries and the barriers between us, all different kinds, what would it be like if we recognize those differences not as places of boundary, but we first saw each other as one? I have a feeling my encounter with the other would be different quite often. Wayne? I did not offer that little one anything to eat, because he went off and found his own. So what would it be like if we lived out our identity created in this ordered universe that God has created to be the way we have been created to be? I'm guessing that those places politically that we feel and know those divisions that are so powerful, maybe if we had the courage and the faith and the love to see the other as one first, we may have those glimpses of that oneness. And it may require, like up at Mills Lake, it may require that we be still with one another every once in a while. To be still and be present with one another. Not seeking out our differences, not pointing them out, but recognizing and knowing the oneness that we have. And then from there, we encounter and deal with life as one, the challenges as one, the joys as one, the grief as one. Yes, we have a cosmic God, and has created us to be in and a part of this ordered universe that God has created as one. I believe this is good news. And it'll be fleeting because I don't have the capabilities of hanging on to that moment. That moment up there, I couldn't hang on to it as much as I wanted to. And I don't think it was meant to be hung on to. It was to be experienced at that moment. And then seek it out again and again and again. So sisters and brothers in Christ, just think about that, right? Those words, sisters and brothers in Christ. One, loved and cherished and created in love. You know, when God, that first story of the creation, there's a common phrase that happened after every time God created something. And maybe you remember it. God saw that it was, said that it was, and it was. What would it be like if we looked upon one another as one and first recognized that? And then deal with the challenges. With God's help, I believe we can. It will take courage. It will take intentionality. It will take love. That is beyond us, but it is available to us in this same cosmic God. And to that, I say thanks be to God. So in these next moments, you have opportunities to participate in a different variety of different places in the space for the